Mark chapter 5. I want to welcome all the visitors today. We've got lots of visitors, and Tim, some of his family, see some of you there, and I don't know. I miss somebody. We're just glad you're here. We don't care who you are. We don't care where you're from. We're glad you're here. And I mean that. That's not said lightly. And we just appreciate what the Lord's doing in our midst. And just want to encourage you in the Lord. I ask you to pray today as I preach. That the power of the Holy Ghost would be in the place. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Without the Spirit of God, nothing really happens. In fact, without the Spirit of God, it's dangerous that we would be deceived. And so we need the Spirit of truth upon us today. Let's begin reading in Mark chapter 5. Now, I want you to hold that. Let's just hang on just a minute. Let's go back to Numbers. Just hold that passage and go back to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. I have been preaching through the book of 2 Corinthians. If the weather's not tore us up tonight, I'll be back in 2 Corinthians tonight. This message has been on my table of my heart for about a month and a half. I've just had it sitting, waiting, and it feels like this morning that the Lord has said, preach it today. So, just best I know, try to follow the Lord today. Pray for me. I've been preaching a long time, but I feel an inadequacy today, knowing that apart from the Spirit of the Lord, nothing will happen. So I appreciate your prayers. And I'm so glad that you're here. Numbers chapter 23, I'm going to just kind of go through a little bit of a, you know, I don't have the right, hang on just a minute here. I don't have the right passage of scripture. Somebody needs to help me a little bit. I'm looking for the passage of scripture. I don't even have to do it. I know the story. I've lost that passage of scripture. But I'm going to tell you, in the relationship to Mark chapter 5, back in the Old Testament, here's what happened. Here's where we're going to with this. They had wandered 40 years in the wilderness. They were coming up to the River Jordan to cross into the land of Canaan. And there were some people came to Moses and said, from the tribe of Gad and from the tribe of Reuben and from the half tribe of Manasseh. And they said something. They said, we are people with cattle, and we like the land we see on the other side, the east side of Jordan, and we don't want to go over into the land. Now think about this for just a second. They'd been wondering, the whole purpose that God took them out of Egypt was to take them to the land of Canaan, to the land he wanted for them. The land of Canaan is a picture of victorious Christian living. They were saved in Egypt by the blood. They were delivered across, but God's purpose was to take them into the land of Canaan. You know, the story that they sent the 12 spies in, 10 came back and said they can't do it. Only two men said they could. And as a result of their unbelief and their rejection of what God told them to do in obedience, they wandered 40 years. He said, there's only going to be two people go in. That's the two men who believed. For 40 years, their carcasses died in the wilderness. Then they came up at that point in time to go in. And these two tribes said, we don't want to go in. We like this land over here, and we're not going in. And Moses, pretty upset with them. In fact, Moses said, God's going to be angry with you. And Moses finally submitted. Now watch this. God did not impose his sovereign will. Okay? Sometimes there's his permissive will, and he did not impose that on them. But he did say this, you're going to go in and fight with them and conquer the land, and then you can come back. And if you do that, well, we'll let you do it. But you can't make me believe that that was God's perfect will. And those 2.5 tribes stayed. They came up to the Jordan River, but they stayed outside. They wanted to live real close to Canaan, but they didn't want to live in Canaan. Canaan is not only a victorious Christian life. The reason Canaan is a victorious Christian life picture is because it's an obedient Christian life picture. It is getting where God wants you to get. But these two tribes, Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe Manasseh, wanted to stay over where the grass was good. Now, keep that in mind. That's way back in the book of Numbers. You're coming up now to the time the Messiah comes. Where are the, watch this. What was the result of these people saying, I just want to be saved, but I don't want to let God sanctify me? I want to be saved and I want to go to heaven, but I want to live my life the way I want to live it, where and how I want to live it. Let's look at this morning where it took those families. You're back in the book of Numbers, hundreds and hundreds of years. Now you're coming up to the time Jesus came, and then you hit Matthew chapter 5. Let's see what it said. Then they came over unto the other side of the sea into the... What did I say, Matthew? I mean Mark. I guess I'm all messed up. Did I say Matthew? It's Mark chapter 5. Are we all on the same page? Has everybody got a King James Bible?
Amen.
Okay. Are we in Mark chapter 5? All right. I told you to pray for me. Thank you. Better do more than pray for me. Better say, hey, you're not right where you're supposed to be. All right. Does everybody say amen if you're at Mark chapter 5, verse 1?
Amen.
All right. Sounds good. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. That's the Sea of Galilee. Unto the country of what? Everybody tell me.
Gadarenes.
The Gadarenes. Guess who the Gadarenes are? They're descendants of the tribe of Gad. The people who said, we don't want to go in. God, you may have put the blood on the door and you may have delivered us and redeemed us and taken us out of Egypt and given us your word and blessed us and protected us and guided us and directed us. But there's only so far we want to go with you, God. And oh, here's what I want you to get from this. This is a generational thing. This did not happen overnight. It says there, he came into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs. Where are you at when you're in the middle of tombs? You're in a cemetery. You're where death is. There met him out of the tombs. And this whole thing is a literal place and a literal situation, but there's all kinds of analogies that the Holy Ghost has put into it. A man with an unclean spirit. Now, unclean spirit is a devil. There is the devil, Satan, but there are devils, innumerable things past what I could count. This one man had 2,000 in him. 2,000 devils was in this man. A lot of people call it demonism today. The Bible doesn't use the word demon. It used the word devils. Devil. There was a devil in him. Devil. The Bible refers to him as spirits. The Bible talks about lying spirits. Here it talks about unclean spirits. And there's at least 7 or 8 different types of specific ones that the Bible mentions that a person can be possessed with. In verse number 3, it said, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. I want to submit to you today that America is a devil-infested nation.
Amen.
With multitudes of people who are devil-possessed, and you may be sitting in this church house today and be possessed with a devil.
Amen.
This Bible shows you, if you'll read it in the New Testament, there were devil-possessed people in the synagogues. Jesus dealt with them right in the middle of service. America, that's why we've got so many drugs. Because we don't have the power to cast them out like Jesus did, so we've got to do something to settle them down. I was just reading last night about a law that's going to be introduced in the Missouri legislature about teachers, their ability to or not to be able to restrain students or to put students in isolated places. Isn't it amazing? We're in a time in our history when we're looking at state legislation about what teachers can and cannot or should do and should not do pertaining to kids who get out of who've went off the brink. I just talked to a man not long ago whose wife is a first grade teacher. She was assaulted, kicked in the shins by one of her first grade students. They're talking about kids who can, I mean, and then they interviewed parents from this article about this legislation that's to be introduced and talked to parents. Well, my child has got this. And I want to tell you all them stupid names.
Yeah.
Now you listen to me. I'm going to say some stuff today you're probably not going to like, but I'm going to tell you, God help me, I'll die telling the truth.
Amen.
We do not have a bunch of, little psychological problems. We got a country that's infested with devils and they're inside people's bodies.
Amen.
In fact, Jesus dealt with one whose father, he asked him, how long has this devil been in this child? He said, this child of yours said, since he was a child, little. Man, if that child had been on the scene today, they'd have really put a look for a bad place. And like, I'm going to tell you, wallowing on the ground, foaming at the mouth. That's you got that going on. I don't know how teachers teach today. I'm honest with you. They're told they can't discipline. They're told they're supposed to just put up with it. You know what a lot of this stuff is? It's devils, and it's come through television, music, and all kinds of ways. Jesus here, and by the way, can I just say at the outset of this message, there's only one way to deal with devils and demonism, and that's get them confronted with Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the only way. Amen. He's the one who has the power over death, hell, and the grave, and over devils. Never did you see Jesus, but what he had absolute power over devils in the Bible. He said that no man could bind him not with chains. That's getting pretty wild, ain't it? Put chains on a guy, you can't hold him. Verse number 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Nowadays, they'd try to get him strapped down on a gurney and pop through and throw shots in him. And always, watch this, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. We put behind the doors of our institutions, people. We don't want to see this out in public, but it's all over us. Did you know there's people this morning in government state institutions who are crying and would cut themselves if they weren't restrained? And it's out there. Yeah. And by the way, we're seeing it in news stories. Craziness. Those hideous things you can imagine. Stuff. Mamas drowning their own babies in their own bathtubs. Mamas taking their cars and driving off into lakes with their children. Daddies killing their wife and killing all their kids. You can't tell me that's just some natural human phenomena. That is devil possession. We are a devil-infested nation, and you just will come to grips with it, because you don't come to grips with the truth, you'll have no way of warring against it or having power over it within your own personal life and within the life of your family. The Bible said in verse number 6, but thank God for this. But when he saw Jesus afar off, amen, this is what's got to happen. He's got to come in contact. All the human fetters and chains and drugs and institutions and buildings and this and programs and government taxes and all the junk we can do to try to solve the problems we're against is not going to fix it. We have got to bring this generation into contact with the true Jesus of the Bible. And he said, the Bible said he ran, what's this? He worshiped him. Is that Bible telling you that a man had 2,000 demons in him and recognized Jesus Christ and run and worship? You don't suppose there's some false worship going on in America, do you? You don't suppose there's a bunch of demon-infested religious junk running. Verse number 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Woo! His theology is a lot better than a lot of preachers in America. He believed in hell. He believed that Jesus was the Son of the Most High God. For he said unto him, now that was the result of something that had already been said. In verse number 8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, Jesus asked his name. He answered saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now let me tell you something about spirits. They want a body to dwell in. If they have to, they'll go into a hog. But they want a body to dwell in. They're constantly looking for someone to possess. Now therefore, there was at nine to the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. By the way, isn't that amazing? The swine is an unclean animal in the Old Testament. This was an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit goes into an unclean animal. Verse 13, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave. Look at the power Christ has over these unclean spirits. And the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the seaside. Can I say something to you? to see. It's your coastal cities. You look anywhere in the world. I don't care whether you're in America, Europe, Asia. Coastal cities are demon-infested messes. Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, all that junk. New York City is a seedbed of infestations of devils. By the way, when you go down to the ocean, and I'm not getting off on it, but when you go to the ocean, I mean, do you have to be a little bit careful about where you go? I mean, are they all down there dressed right? And I mean, is there any liquor or drugs around the beach? Well, you say not if we go at the right time. But historically known for, you know what going to the beach is historically known for? Partying, drugs, liquor, and just go wild. Girls gone wild. I know you don't want to hear me say that. Spring break. Where do they go on spring break? From colleges all over America. The same place. And you say, I don't like it. I really don't care. This church is not dependent upon your favor. Not dependent on my favor. It's dependent on his favor. Okay? Now, he said they ran down, he said the herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea, and there were about 2,000 were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done. Verse number 15, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. And I want you to see the change that is made in a man who was devil possessed and came in touch with Christ. He was sitting. In other words, he quit running and cutting himself and all that garbage. There's more money made on psychological drugs in America right now than you can count. There are more people running psycho clinics and counseling clinics and trying to fix people's psychological problems than you can count. This is what they're dealing with. Man's always got his substitute solution for the problems. Now, look at what he said. Second thing, he's clothed. He's clothed. Can I tell you the first thing God did with Adam and Eve after the devil got done with them was clothe them? Immodesty is an issue of devils. Did you know right now it's not uncommon in the news for there to be a news story about this guy was out in the middle of the freeway, didn't have any clothes on, he was throwing rocks at cars. Same thing. When the devil gets influence on you, he will mess with your clothes. Yes, sir. Well, look at that guy back over there. He was naked. The Bible tells you about it. Anyway, and then it says this, he is in his right mind. He didn't need a shrink. Amen. He didn't need a preacher for a counselor. He is in his right mind. America's not in the right mind. How many would agree? The stupidest stuff and craziest stuff is going on in this country right now. It's just like it's insane. The country's went nuts. Amen. And you know what? They were afraid. Isn't it amazing that whenever Jesus gets somebody straightened up and to quit the craziness and to clothe in the right mind, boy, there's a bunch of fundamentalist freakos, bunch of Bible bangers, legalists. Anyway, they that saw it told them how it befell them that was best of the devil's continued sign and so forth and all that. I've lived long enough now to see some things. Danny and I grew up together pretty close, raised right here in this country. This country full of churches. And I'll just tell you, good place to be raised, good place to grow up. Now it's hard to get away from the filth of San Francisco because you've got your phone. And you can't, I mean, in all honesty, if you interact with the culture, you're just bombarded with filth. But the condition that you and I are living in today of the rampant drugs, man told me this week that, and I'm not going to name the school, but he said, Reggie, there's a school here local in the area. I will say it's not Norwood, just in case everybody wants to jump on me, okay? In this case, it wasn't Norwood. But he said, it's the middle school that's got more drugs in it than the high school. Their own kids told him so. He said, Daddy, you wouldn't dream the drugs that's in middle school. The liquor, the perversion, the socialism, the laziness, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know about, just pray for me as I get onto this thing, Dave, but I'm going to tell you right now. It's a pitiful shame how American people are milking their neighbors, stealing from their neighbors through welfare and government programs and all kinds of stupid stuff that you figure out every way you can to get a check or some kind of something that some other taxpayer labored for you to get. The Bible said we're to remember the poor. And I'll tell you what, you'll be here next Sunday, and I guarantee you, you won't see many things like it in your life. We're having Giving Sunday. And I'll tell you, the Bible says consider the poor, and we ought to consider each other and be able to help each other. There's a long ways difference between biblical charity and government programs that allow man to steal from people. It's unreal what's being stolen in this county in farm programs. 200,000 is nothing. Money being stolen. It's a mess. Who's paying for them farm service programs? Taxpayer. Yes, sir. That'll get you popular in the county. The deceitfulness, the ungratefulness, the reprobation. There's no restraint on wickedness. Nothing is hidden anymore. Nothing is shameful anymore. And it's the evidence of a demon-possessed deal. And what I'm telling you about growing up in this country, I have seen sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters of preachers, godly people, godly pillars in churches around this country. And their children and grandchildren are on drugs, drunks, perverts, child molesters. And they're gone. You say, Reggie, how'd it happen? We've seen an increase in suicides, the killing of children. We talk about abortion. Abortion is nothing less than the sacrifice of your children to the gods of selfish pleasure. That's all it is. It's no different than what they did in the Old Testament. It is the absolute sacrifice of the fruit of your own body to the God of self and the God of pleasure. It's the most hideous thing in the world, and we're not going to escape judgment. I don't know how God's going to judge this country, but He's going to judge it. You get your boots on because it's coming. Lying, sodomites, child traffickers, sex slave people, vile immorality, nakedness, children being read to in our kindergartens and first grade by a bunch of stinking sodomites, transvestites, the most filthy, nasty thing you can imagine, marching up and down our streets. And now if you say anything against it as an elected official, I mean, you're branded as some kind of a bigot. You say anything about it as a preacher, you're branded as not being kind. Pornography is the largest business in America. Video games of how to murder and slaughter multitudes, and then they wonder why kids have took guns into schools when their kids have been playing these video games for the last 15 years. Are you nuts? I have walked into preach meetings at churches, and in the downstairs kitchen area, the kids in church sitting there playing on a game, the slaughter, and I stand back and say, what are those kids doing? And boy, there's two boys sitting there, and they're whatever them little handles are they're doing, and they're slaughtering people down there, everybody's blood's going everywhere. And I'm going, this is in the basement of the church. This is what kids are doing for, you know, just a spare time at church. And we're wondering why people's killing everybody across the country. Presidential candidates who won't even have an American flag on their stand at the debate. And preachers cowered down by devils. I'm going to preach a message someday called Duct Taping the Preacher. That's America's favorite religious sport now.
That's right.
Yeah. Duct Tape the Preacher. Anyway, I'm going to preach and let's go. Get out of here. I want to preach a message on the perverted path to demon possession. Here's what I'm telling you. There are people in this church right now, listen to me, in here and online, who, if you don't get your boat straightened up and you don't get your act straightened up and you don't get obedient to the word of God that was taught in this lesson this morning. By the way, some of you need to get up on Sunday morning and get out of your house and get to church.
Amen.
Yeah, just to be honest with you. I'm just being truthful with you. If you treated your employer like that, you wouldn't have a job 3 days. But you treat God Almighty like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
I want to give you the path to being devil possessed. The journey how it happens. I said, I've lived long enough in my lifetime to see from one generation to this generation to this generation what will happen. Number one, reformation. Take your Bible to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Reformation is a journey to demonism. Listen to me carefully. There's a big difference between being reformed and regeneration. Regeneration is being born again of the Spirit of God, a new man in Jesus Christ. Reformation is you trying to fix yourself up and look religious and act religious, talk religious and all that kind of garbage. Watch Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 43. Verse number 43, Matthew chapter 12. The Bible says here that when an unclean spirit, we're talking about the journey to demonism, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding none. Many people walk into church or listen to a message somewhere and their heart is stirred up and they're like, they're inside their soul, they're cutting and crying and they're bound by their sin and by Satan and they're looking for some deliverance and they're wanting help from somebody somewhere. And it says they're walking through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Verse number 44, then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I come out. And when he has come, he findeth it does something. Here it is, empty, swept, and garnished. Here's what God is talking about, is self-reformation. Beware of self-reformation. We preach the new birth here. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, you must be. Not it's a good idea, not a suggestion. You must be born again. And I ask you, have you ever been born again? If you're not born again, you're going to bust hell wide open. You listen to this preacher today. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I care about your soul. I'm not up here on a preach your ego trip. I'm telling you, I'm tired. My spirit's worn out. My soul is vexed. But I am telling you, I've got a job to do, and that's preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've got a job to do, and that's warn the lost to turn from their wicked ways. And I've got a job to do to tell you it's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. Eternity is forever. Christ is nothing for you to monkey with. But here's what happens. People get, they want a fix. You know, I'll try to go to church. So they go to church and they say, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll quit drinking. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll try to quit lying. I'll try to quit lusting. I'll try to quit my pornography. I'll quit doing my drugs. I'll try to dress modestly. I'll try to look and act and talk like, but I'm going to tell you something. None of that saves you. None of that saves you. I'm going to tell you girls something. You listen to me. You boys listen to me. You can dress right. You can look right. You can sing specials. You can do everything. But I ask you, have you been born again in the Spirit of God? I can preach. The Bible says preachers are preaching that are lost. Teachers are teaching that are lost. You doing this and doing that doesn't impress God. You must be born again. Amen. Reformation. Now watch what happens when you try reformation. Verse number 7, 45. Then he goeth and taketh unto himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. They enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. I've seen this over and over again. Somebody kind of comes in, here's a classic. My wife left me. Oh, so I'm going to run to church. Oh, Brother Reggie. Oh, I've got trouble in my family. Oh, I've got trouble in my finances. Oh, I've got trouble with my health. The doctor told me I had cancer. On and it goes. Oh, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to straighten my life up. I'm going to start doing right. I'm going to start walking right, spitting right. I'll tell you what, I'm going to get interested. But then here comes troubles and trials and problems. And it wasn't like Joel Osteen told you. And all of a sudden, you find out that rains on the just and the unjust. And the sun shines on the just and the unjust. And all of a sudden, life kicked you in the head three or four times. So you said, well, if that's how God is, I'm out. Or you was in church and somebody offended you in church and somebody didn't shake your hand or smile at you or somebody lied about you that you said they're in church or somebody said bad stuff about you in church and you have a fit and go out. And I'm going to tell you, then you go around the rest of your life talking about that bunch of hypocrites, that bunch of hypocrites. Let me tell you something. When you hear a man talking about that bunch of hypocrites in church, you're looking at a demon-possessed man. Amen. Amen. He is seven times worse than he was before he ever walked in. The journey to demonism is reformation. We don't preach around here that your good will be weighed up against your bad And that will determine whether you go to heaven. We preach you must be born again of the Spirit of God, that your righteousness is as filthy rags, that you have to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to you by faith, that your only hope is that he died in your place for your sin, was buried and rose again the third day, and without faith in him you'll die and go to hell. That's the only thing God the Father recognizes, is faith in his Son's death, burial, and resurrection. We don't preach you be good and go to heaven. You kids can mind your mama till your head turns blue and die and bust hell wide open. You must be born again. Then the next thing, the next part on the journey is religion. You want to take a journey to demonism, just go to religion. You start off with self-reformation. And it doesn't make you sick to listen to Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and the Democrats up there impeaching Trump up there self, like they're on some moral high ground somewhere. We're the moral superiority of America. And they're lying. They don't, if their mouth opens, they lie. America's dominated by a bunch of demon-possessed liars. But I tell you what's worse than self-reformation, that's religion. You can have religion too, it chokes you, amen. But it will not save you. Nobody had religion more than the Pharisees. And Jesus said to those Pharisees in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil. Now I'm going to tell you what I could get this morning. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many in here has been baptized? Raise your hand. All right, hold them up for a little bit. How many in here has been born again in the Spirit of God? Raise your hand. But I'll tell you what you do. You go out here in the country and you knock on a door or two, or you talk to a person or not, and they'll tell you about their baptism. They'll tell you about everything except God convicted me of my sin, led me to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And he made me to see that I was guilty before God and a wicked sinner, and I was on my way to hell, and God saved me by his mercy and by his grace. You don't hear nobody say that. Hey, I'll tell you this much. When's the last time when people, quote, get saved? Did you ever hear anybody say, God be merciful to me, a sinner? Nobody says that. You can't remember the last time you ever heard anybody in a church say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. It's all religious reformation junk. Amen. Religion, it'll choke you and take you to hell. These people honor me with their lips, Jim, but their heart is far from me. Oh, do you go to church? Yeah, I go to church. I want to tell you something. I'll tell you when America was great was when Americans could stand preaching. Americans, the evidence that America is gone is it will and cannot take preaching. Used to, if preachers didn't preach on sin, and I mean nail it to the wall, they wanted rid of him. He's a danger to our children. Now, if you preach on sin, and I mean pull the carpet off the floor, oh, he's a grouch. He's a bad guy. He don't love nobody. I'm going to tell you who loves you. That's the guy that tells you the truth. That's who loves you. I'm talking about religion. You get over in 844. You know what? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, where God talked about them false prophets leading them people into a false religion, there were three things that characterized them. Listen to me. Here it is. Number one, lust. It said they had eyes full of adultery and could not cease from sin. America's full of preachers that are adulterers. Spiritual leaders that are adulterers. Secondly, they're liberal. They hate truth. Can I tell you something? I went to the doctor this week. Just wanted to get me a primary physician. I figure I'm 66 years old, about time to be looking for a doctor. When I go to the doctor, Brother Jim, and if I tell him, man, I'm hurting down inside here, and he takes an x-ray or whatever, and he looks at it and says, well, he got a tumor in there bigger than baseball. I don't want him to come out and say, listen, now you just go home and enjoy yourself and enjoy the geese flying and the squirrels running and the birds eating. Have a good day. Okay, we'll see you. That's $562. We'll see you next time. I want to ask you a question. What do you want your doctor to tell you? What do you want? You want him to lie to you? What do you want your doctor to tell you? Truth. You wouldn't give a nickel for a doctor that lied to you like that, would you? In fact, if it is, some of you'd probably sue him. He knew it and didn't tell me. He knew I had a tumor and he wouldn't tell me. And charged me $562 and lied to me. That's what's going on across America. That's what's going on. I go to a dentist and I say, man, something don't feel up here right. He takes an x-ray, get good land, leave that guy. His root's totally gone. He's going to have all kinds of pain and misery in the next 3 weeks that something may happen to him. Ah, here's a little cocaine. Put that on there. I mean, Novocaine, I'm sorry. I did that on purpose just to catch you. Put that on there. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that'll fix it. You'll be fine. You wake up in the middle of the night. That dentist lied to me. You go to another dentist. He said, man, you should have had this taken care of 4 weeks ago. You go back. He said, have him send his x-rays to me. You have him send the x-rays to him. He said, right there it is. Yep. He wasn't telling you the truth. And he'd go to that doctor that didn't tell him. He said, Doc, why didn't you tell me the truth? Well, I didn't want to make you feel bad. And I wanted you to come back. And I didn't want you to think bad about me. And I didn't want you to think I was an old crank, just always bad news, bad news. That's the way people look at Bible preaching today. Did you know what preachers are supposed to do according to the book 2 Timothy? What Paul told pastors to do, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. You know what that means? Put up with them and put up with them and put up with them. That's what preaching is. Then he said, lift up thy trumpet and show my people their sins. We all need preaching. I've probably got 1,000 preaching CDs in my house. You know why? Because I get tired of listening to myself. I can't stand listening to myself. But oh, I like to put a good old message on. I'll tell you what, Brother Ralph, nothing that makes me happier than be in bed and I put an old mean preaching tape on. I mean one of them old ones. And boy, I mean, tell you what, and the Holy Ghost plowed me up and he's a preaching the book. Maybe he's praising the Lord Jesus. I don't know, but I like good preaching. I didn't used to like. I remember one time when I was lost sitting in church. I was sitting about right back in here. I was sitting here like this here, you know. I don't know how long this is going to be. And I don't know what got into our preacher, but he started preaching on sin. And I'm like, what's he think he's doing? I'll tell you right now, Danny, if the truth was told about it, there's a bunch of Kelly boys sitting in that church down there. They should have had their hide ripped up. But mostly the truth about it is we was petted. Sometimes because they're about the only ones there. What do you want me to come to? You're just the most wonderful kid. I bet you never do anything wrong. I bet an evil thought never crosses your mind. Religion. It'll kill you and take you to hell. Amen? Amen. It'll take you to hell. Not only are they full of lust and they're liberal, but they're liars. They won't tell you the truth about yourself or anybody else. And churches become, watch this, the cage of every foul spirit. A cage of, you know what scares me? I have prayed, oh God, do not allow Liberty Faith Church to become the cage of every foul spirit. Number three, rebellion. The most prominent feature of Satan. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 3, he said rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft is the involvement in demons. I'm going to tell you right now, when you take that beer, but you may think that's just a little Bud Light can, and you think it's no consequence, no big deal. And you take that Bud Light and you dump that thing in your belly, you have just opened your body up to infection and the intrusion of demons. That's why your grandfathers called it spirits. Because it was a conduit through which through evil spirits could come into your body. And when you drink, you've opened yourself up to spirits. They'll come right in. What is it? Well, what's old? Here you go. You know, you did something stupid. Well, he was under the influence, Your Honor. Don't do nothing to him because he really wasn't in his right mind. He was drunk when he killed his kids. Drunk. That's not the problem. Devils. Yes. The journey to demonism comes through Reformation. You try to fix yourself up without regeneration. It comes through religion and it comes through rebellion. And I'm telling you right now, I've watched it I don't know how many times in my life with the people that I've tried to pastor. If they rebel against the word of God, they'll leave out of here. And I'm telling you, it's just like Satan has control of them.
Amen.
When you, Bible, watch this. Your Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, if you don't believe this is real, who was that said to? Saul. Does anybody know what happened to Saul later? Where did he wind up? To the witch of Endor. He rebelled against God's word, kept going down that path of rebellion until one day he said, I can't get anything from God. I mean, the prophet said, no, I can't. Take me to a witch. I'm telling you, you ain't no better, and I'm no better than Saul. You rebel, you're headed to a witch. You rebel, you're headed toward devils. I'm telling you right now, if there's you listen to me, whether you like this or don't like it, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He does have authority, and he will put down all rebellion. And I'm telling you right now, you don't want to be on the wrong side of this thing when it comes down. And if I was guessing anything, we were looking real close at it coming down.
Amen.
We need some old-time Christians in America who says, I love the truth. I'll tell you what, just give me the truth. I'll take care of the rest of it. That's what we do. We don't need a bunch of, listen, you shake your fist at God. You rebel against simple commands of the Bible. And then there's rejection of the word. We're talking about the journey to demon possession. You try to self-reform, you get involved in some type of religious activity, then you have a rebellious attitude toward the Word of God, and then you and toward the things of God, and then you have rejection of the Word of God. Hebrews 10:29 makes an amazing statement. People talk to me about law and grace. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, the Holy Ghost tells you something. He said, whenever God came and gave the Ten Commandments, the administration of the law on Mount Sinai. He said they couldn't even approach that mountain without being thrust through with a dart. That law was so holy. The presence of God was so powerful. Now watch what he says. Of how much sorer... Now people all the time saying, we're not under law, we're under grace. Bless God, we're not under law, we're under grace. Bless God, I can live like I want to. Shut your mouth, don't tell me how to live.
Yeah.
Now watch this verse. Of how much, and he moves right out of Mount Sinai and the glory of the law, and he says, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God. Counted, watch this, counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing, and done despite to the Spirit of grace. Let me give you the hillbilly version of that. You'll get it worse from God by despising his grace than you will by despising his law. And God says this, that when you despise God's grace, you're trampling on the blood of Jesus Christ. You're saying, I could care less that Jesus shed his blood. And I'm going to do what I want to do. Rejection of the Word of God is very, very dangerous. Number five, riding the fence. We started off back over in the book of Numbers when the tribe of Gad, Reuben, and half-tribe Manasseh said, watch this. You know what if I'd have been Moses? I said, hey, you rascals, I'm not giving you that good farming land. Get your backside back to Egypt if you don't want to be with us. That's me. You know what their problem was? They didn't want to go back to Egypt. They didn't want to go to Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan. They wanted to be real up close to Canaan land, but not in. That's the curse on the church today. Real, we want to be right there. We want to know it's there, but we don't want to be in Canaan. We don't want to be in full obedience and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what Jim said this morning. He said, this is not about living some sinless, perfect life.
No way.
Not at all. It's about having a heart that says, you know what, if God will give me grace, I want to do right. And I may have to fight this thing for 6 months. By the way, I've been in spiritual battles right now for over 2 years. I've got issues in my life I'm struggling and battling with in spiritual warfare that I'm telling you what, you talk about dogfighting. It doesn't mean you're going to live sinful, that, oh, you're just going to walk around thinking about angels and streets of gold. No, the more you try to live for God, can I tell you the worse your spiritual warfare is going to get?
Amen.
By the way, that's one of the reasons that we back up from it, because we're so tired of it. Man, I tell you what, I was reading this week in World War II, at the worst time of the war in 1942, the Japanese had knocked us out at Pearl Harbor. We weren't in the war before that. And Europe, England was trying just to keep the Germans from taking over their homeland. And Japan did that, and they knocked out the whole Pacific deal. You know what the Japanese did? They ran right straight down to Singapore, and they took Singapore. There's 100,000, watch this, there's 100,000 English, Australian, and associated troops on the island of Singapore. Do you know what Churchill told them? He said, you stand till the last man's dead. Do you know what Percival said? Yes, sir. I read that and I go, you can't even get Christians to say yes, sir, to God like that. Now, before the end, Churchill sent him permission to surrender, and it was only because of all the women and children that were going to be slaughtered. And those people were taken into captivity by the Japs and stayed there for the remainder of the war. Many of them didn't come home. But what amazed me, Danny, was Percival, General Percival, and those troops, they looked to their leader.
Amen.
Said, what do you want us to do? We're in a bad situation. And he said, fight it out to the death. Here's what he'd get to. The more you destroy and fight and keep them from there, it will keep them from being somewhere else. He said, somewhere we've got to take a stand. And those men knew they didn't have what it would have took to win. They were outnumbered, outgunned. They were isolated and cut off. Just like our men at Batong and Corregidor Island, which makes me sick. Most kids in America don't know squat about nothing. Can I tell you, good thing I ain't president. You'd think Donald Trump was a sweetie pie Sunday school teacher. Because I'm going to tell you right now, me and the colleges and universities of this country would have a big problem. I jerk the funds off my knees and so fast make their heads swim for teaching our children to hate the Constitution, to hate our founding fathers, to hate our founding principles. We ain't got nothing but a bunch of propaganda nests. They're not schools, they're not educational, they're not universities, they're propaganda. They're propaganda viper pits. But I'm saying this to you. Rejected riding the fence. You know what they said in Numbers 32? I took it to Numbers 23. There's my mistake. You know what they said? Bring us not over Jordan. Whew. I said to you, the journey generationally to demon-possessed people. I don't know if you haven't seen these clips, but it makes me sick to my stomach. There'll be some policeman walking the beat of some street, and you can just see the filth and the chain link fences and the debris and the nastiness of the area. And here's some 18, 22-year-old kid they walk up on going, and they'll say, what are you doing here? Get up. And these cops that walk the beat, they've got this deal. I don't know what it is, some kind of drug now, that they have permission to shoot up their nose. And it brings them to themselves. The sad part about it is, folks, that whether you want to admit this or not, drugs have taken over Wright County. And the surrounding counties. And what you're not seeing is when some of them are arrested, what the scene was. And what you're not seeing is that when they threw them in the jail cell over there at Wright County. And I'm going to tell you something. Nobody knows this side of eternity what these men going over to that jail will do to help even protect fellow jail people. The climate changes when the gospel is brought into a jail cell. Because I'm going to tell you something. Let me just tell you something. I took the school class up to Jefferson City years ago. Stood with that lady up on top of that hill above the Missouri State Pen. And I said, tell me what goes on when a kid from our part of the country comes in. She said, well, first of all, they're sold 4 to 5 times for a pack of cigarettes or 3 pack of cigarettes before they ever get here. I'm talking about the journey to demonism. She said it's inmates who handle all the stuff. And she said they'll see the photo come up. They'll know the date of arrival. They'll know the time of arrival. And they'll say, he's pretty. And they'll sell him for 3 packages of cigarettes. Say, sell him what? She said, he will not lay down on his bunk before he's raped. And then she turned to me and she said, would you do me a favor? I said, I'll try to. What is it? She said, you're a preacher, right? I said, yeah. She said, would you go back to your part of the country and tell the little white boys, don't be doing drugs, don't be doing liquor, don't be stealing, don't be messing up, because they'll wind up here and they're going to get raped before the first night they lay down. And sometimes they'll have a bar stuck up their backside. You say, I don't like to hear me talk like that. I had a boy, I had a dad that used to go to this church who brought his boy into my study and told me what was going on. And I looked that boy in the eye and I said, let me tell you something. You may throw off what I'm telling you, but if you don't stop the path you're on, I said, you're going to wind up at Jeff City at the state pen and be raped 3 to 4 times before you sit down. Sold for less than a pack of cigarettes. Wake up! You're on the journey to demonism. Those places are full of demons. Amen. And if my preaching, you may not like me, and you may not like my method, you may not like my my personality, but God didn't ask you before he called me to preach. But if you were out some night getting ready to do something stupid, and the Holy Ghost brought this message back to you and it stopped you by his Spirit, it'd be worth it all. Amen. You cannot ride the fence. Let me just tell you what's happened in this country. If I preached everything, Danny, that was in my heart, that I've had said to me, that I know what's went on in this country, some of you'd cover your ears, some of you'd walk out. But I've had Grandpa set me down and say, Reggie, I want to talk to you. Reggie, my grandson's a dope head. Reggie, my granddaughter's shacked up. And I served God all these years in our church right up the road here. And I tried to do all I could for God's thought. Reggie, my family's been stolen out from underneath me. What happened? And I had to tell them this. While you took them to church on Sunday morning, on Monday morning, they went to a different world. You say, Reggie, what do we need to do? I had a man call me the other day, and I mean, he was in a fighting mood because I preached repentance. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach repentance till hell freezes over. Amen. Repentance does not save you, but repentance is a work of the Holy Ghost within you that causes you to see where you're at and where you need to be and where you're going to be if you don't turn. Now, I'm going to tell you what the old timers used to say. Watch this. They said repentance is turn or burn. You're going this way with the world. Some of you in this church, you know what you want me to do? You want me to turn with you. I'm not doing it. I'll always love you. I ain't going to turn with you. You're wanting to be, Reggie, turn around. Go with me the way I want to go. I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. I love you. God being my helper. Repentance is turning from sin, from Satan, from self and the world to God as a guilty sinner and saying, God, I need you and I want to place my faith in Christ. Lord, have mercy upon me and save me. It's Jesus' blood that saves you, but repentance is required before salvation. I believe that. I'm sorry if you don't. Bible said in the book of Acts 7 times this week, ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now you take issue with that, that's between you and God. Jesus Christ said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You take that up with God. I want to tell you what we need in this nation is an old time, deep return of the soul to God that says, God, I'm done with the world, and I'm not going up there and say, I'm going to repeat after, a prayer after the preacher. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Ghost ever gets a hold of you, you won't need me repeating a prayer. You'll cry out to God and say, God, save me. God, forgive me. I'm a wicked sinner. God, have mercy upon me. That's what will happen to you when the Holy Ghost leads you to repentance. Let's stand. What is needed is repentance, which will lead you to regeneration, which is the new birth. Believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a work of the Holy Ghost in the heart. You say, Reggie, what can we do? Well, I'll tell you what I would do and what Karen and I have tried to do. And that is, you better pull off from the world and its ways. Because the journey to demonism is just like Pharaoh with the children of Egypt. You go on out there and have church, just leave your kids with me. And I'm going to tell you something. My child rearing days is over. But I'll tell you what if I had six little kids I was raising. I'll tell you what I'd do. By the grace of God and the sweetness of the Holy Ghost, I'd just do my best. Say, Lord, save my generation from demonism. Can I tell you what's involved in sodomy? What the world calls gay? That's devil possession. That's the most unnatural thing in the world. That's not funny. I want to tell you right now, that is an assault upon the creative design of God. But some of you are so taken in, you're already on the journey to demonism, that you think, well, if somebody wants to be that way, that's their choice. No, it's not. No. God said male, female. They don't have a choice about it. You don't have a choice. This week, a person told me in another state, in a school where their nieces and nephews are, that their own nieces and nephews told them that in our school system, 70 to 80% of the kids are basically mixed up, not sure what they're attracted to. 70 to 80% in a public school. We're headed for trouble. You better get your boat turned the right direction. I'm telling you right now, you better say, God, I'll tell you what. I'm not sacrificing my family on the altar of the immediate. I want to ask you today, are you saved? Have you been born again in the Spirit of God? You say, Reggie, what can we do? First of all, get real. Get honest about it. Can I tell you, before I ever got saved, I had to get honest about the fact I wasn't. Now, don't tell me how many times you've been to church. I'll tell you what you can do. We can walk in that door right there and walk out the back door and drop off into hell and do it for 20 years sitting in this church and follow your mom and daddy here every Sunday. You individually have to be born again in the Spirit of God. Get real. Get honest. I'm either saved or not. Let me tell you, we're not here to knock you. If you're not saved, we love you. I'll guarantee you that night I got saved. Brother Daniel, I'm going to tell you something. Biggest thing I was scared of, what mom and dad going to think? What my brother going to think? What's the preacher going to think? What's everybody going to think? What's us going to Everybody going to know I was a lying hypocrite. And you know what? God hung me over hell, so I didn't care what they all thought. I thought, I'm not going to hell over what anybody else thinks in this building. And if they all hate my guts, it's too bad. I'm going to heaven. I ain't going to hell. So if you're here today and you're saved, get real. And then I'm going to tell you what, realize that Jesus died for you and it's a gift, it's free. You don't have to work for it or merit. It's not how good you are compared to how bad you are. It's His blood. He died in your place for your sin. He paid it all. Jesus did pay it all. And then I'm just going to tell you, just call on the Lord. Heavenly Father, this morning, I don't know, Lord. Oh, how I pray that I would somehow or another right now be hidden behind the shadow of the cross and they could see Christ lifted up and they could see His blood spattering upon the ground at the foot of that cross, that precious blood. And they could see the blood, Lord, coming down His temples. And they could see the blood oozing from His skull. And they could see His face battered and bruised beyond recognition. And they could see His side pierced and the blood in the water. Lord, the blood to redeem us, the water to sanctify us. God, I pray that they'd see a Savior who died for them. A Savior who was innocent. A Savior who never sinned, but was the qualified Lamb of God. God, open their eyes to the truth today. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me if in my conduct and actions and attitudes have turned somebody away from the cross. I pray, oh God in heaven, that I've not preached to anybody that if they're good, they'll go to heaven. But I pray that we've preached Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead and faith in him for justification. God, today I'm thankful that we don't need to know a bunch of theology to get saved. It's so simple. I'm glad, Lord, that Paul didn't give some kind of a big religious dissertation when the old jailer asked him, what must I do to be saved? I'm glad he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. God, today help us to keep this message of the cross simple. But God, I pray, oh God, I fear and tremble at the amount of demonism that's come into this country. Lord, there's lying spirits everywhere. You can't hear the truth about anything. Lord, there's a rejection and a hatred for the Bible. It is not welcome in our public discourses. It is not welcome in our educational centers. It is not welcome, seem like, Lord, anywhere. If you say something about the Bible, Lord, it's like you committed a crime in this country. God, I pray today that you'd help parents right now in this church. Lord, to be able to say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord with humility, with a deep dependence upon the Word and the Spirit of God, recognizing our own failures and our own sinfulness. God, I ask you this morning, there are some here today who are on the journey to demonism. They're on the journey to devil possession. Stop them, Heavenly Father. Lord, may the cross of Calvary stand between them and the abyss with which they're approaching. God, save them from the depths of hell. Save them, Lord. I pray, God, you'll do that today. As our heads are bowed and eyes closed, the pianist comes. I'm going to give you an invitation today to two things. Number one, if you're here today and you're lost, God grant you repentance of sin and faith in Christ. And would you come today, find an old time place to just kneel and do business with God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake today. Number two, for those that are saved, let me tell you what these grandpas have told me around the country. Reggie, it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen over 1 year. It didn't happen over just 5 years. But I woke up one morning and realized I'd lost my descendants. I'd lost my descendants. And now it seems like their minds are blinded. Now let me tell you this, folks. Sometimes it was because the religion they were in was self-reformation. It was do better and go to heaven. Sometimes it was just religion. It was without Christ. Sometimes there was rebellion in areas of life where God tried to deal with them, but they wouldn't listen. And they rejected the Word of God. Then other times I would observe and I'd see where they'd been riding the fence. They had 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the Lord. But folks, God will share his glory with no one else. You've seen what happened to the Gadarene descendant when Jesus came on the scene. Their great, great, great grandchildren were up in the mountains and dwelling in the tombs, crying and cutting themselves with 2,000 devils in them and nobody to help them until Jesus came. If you're listening to me on tape or CD or on this broadcast, however, I don't care how many drugs you've done. I don't care how many times you've poked yourself with a needle. I don't care how many times you've vomited drunk. I don't care how many times you've messed yourself up in immorality. And I don't care how many times Satan is about to beat you to death. Oh, would to God I could create a meeting between you and Jesus Christ today. Because he's the one who can deliver you. And he won't do it with some legal drugs. And he don't do it with a shrink and a counselor. But by the power of Almighty God that spoke this world into existence, he will deliver you from the power of darkness. Listen, he's doing it for people around the world. He's done it for people before you. He'll do it for you. Now I beg you in Jesus' name, call upon him today. But I'm telling you right now, God is not nobody's fool. You must let the Lord lead you to repentance. You must quit fighting him. You must quit resisting the Lord. Today, as the pianist plays, I don't know what your need is here today, but you come. The Lord does business with you. The Holy Ghost has led you to come. You come and pray and seek the Lord's face today. Maybe you need to be saved. I'm telling you, if you call on the Lord, believe the gospel. Jesus died for you. God will save you today. Would you come anywhere in this building right quick? Step out. Maybe you're a family here today, and maybe you're an individual, and you realize that you're on the wrong path. If you keep going like you're going, Satan's going to have your descendants like the Gads did. Anybody, I'm not going to take long. Is there a need today to come? Let me tell you who God deals with, who God does business with. Is that heart that comes to the point of where they don't care what anybody else thinks? They're going to step out and obey the Lord. God bless you there. That's who the Holy Ghost will bless, is those who say, I don't care if it's going to bother those standing by me. I don't care what they think about me. I'm going to do business with God today. Would you come? I'm asking you, because all I can do at this point is between you and the Lord. Between you and the Lord. Would you come? As our heads are bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. If you were to die right now, if on the way home a semi smacked you, if you were to die right now in the condition you're in, how many of you in this building can say with an honest heart, and please don't lie to yourself and don't lie to me, you're just wasting your time, but can you say with an honest heart that you're saved by the grace of God, been born again in the Spirit? You know that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life because you have trusted Jesus Christ, that he died in your place for your sins, was buried and rose again. You're trusting him. Would you slip your hand up? I know without any, if the Bible's true, I'm saved. Raise your hand high. Would you thank the Lord for that? Oh, that's everything. You've got it all. Your hands down. Would you this morning be willing to let me pray for you, lost person? Did you say, Brother Reg, Pastor Kelly? I couldn't raise my hand, but I'd like to be able to. Lord's dealing with me, and I tell you, there's a battle going on in my soul. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand so I know how to pray for you? This won't save you, but I guarantee you there's going to be a bunch of people praying for you that you will come. God bless you there, sister. I see that hand. God bless you for your honesty. God bless you. Is there somebody else? Pray for me. There's a struggle in my soul. Pray for me. I want in on this prayer. I want in on this prayer. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? All right, I've seen one hand, and I'm going to pray, and I want everybody else to pray for this dear one that raised their hand. But dear one who raised your hand, would you, just while we pray, slip out? Bring some of your family with you. Maybe turn around and say, Mom and Daddy, go with me. Brother and sister, go with me. Whatever. And just come on to this old altar and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to get this settled today. Heavenly Father, there's an honest heart raised a hand up here that they was lost. And they don't want to be lost. They don't want to die and go to hell. They want to be saved. And Lord, the great battle in their soul is going forth. And I pray for them right now. Lord, I promised them I'd pray for them. And I pray against the powers of hell that would lie to them and tell them all kinds of nonsense of why they ought to put it off and not today and so forth, God. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to give them grace to be saved. God, the old song says, don't put off salvation too long. My Father, I pray, break out, Lord. Holy Ghost, break through. Break through our flesh. Break through our deception. Break through Satan's lies. And we'll thank you, Lord. Please have mercy upon this person and others, Lord, who ought to have raised their hands, Lord. We pray for them right now. And those listening that are, Lord, lost, we pray for their salvation. And, oh, God, how I pray today that we as parents and grandparents and, Lord, have been entrusted with the heritage of the Lord, how that we would examine our lives and our homes and our hearts and see, Heavenly Father, are there ways that you want us to change, Lord, for your glory's sake. And we'll thank you, Lord, and Lord, for the saving even of the generations to come. And Lord, we thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, young lady, for coming today. The precious time over here, young lady with her father. I'm going to ask some of that family, why don't some of you sisters come and be with your sister? Would you do that as she's coming before the Lord? And I'm just telling you, listen, we need freedom in this church. We need liberty in this church for God to do his work. Amen.
I'm tell you what, I don't, it's 12:24. I know it's late, and I know family members here, and I'm going to say this to you, but the Lord's still working. But if you need to go, we understand that, and you're at liberty to leave right now, but we're going to stay here and do business with the Lord till he's done. And so you're at liberty to leave. But if you want to stay with us, maybe you're fighting. If you get that back door and the Holy Ghost said, don't leave this place without getting it right, turn right around, come back in. We'll be here, all right? Don't leave this place not right with God. You're dismissed as you are. And we're going to stay here with these that are praying.